So every year at camp, if you've ever been involved with camp, there's usually a theme that we focus in on. So a theme that sort of envelops the whole camp. It's what we want everyone to sort of focus in on, hone in on. And if they're going to take away something, this is what it is. So we usually pick a verse. So our verse is Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6 this year at camp. And we pick a word to go with it. So this year, we picked the word serene. I'm really looking forward for you cabin leaders having to explain serene to an 8-year-old, but serene, that is what we're focusing in on. I think it's a really, just a great place to start with youth and starting with their faith. So the serene dependence is what we're going to be talking about today. So you can turn to Psalm 62 if you haven't already. It's only 12 verses, so it's a great little passage here. So we're going to talk about how to find that serene living. So we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to read actually out of the ESV translation. I actually have the NIV 1984 version. That's usually what most of the message will be focusing on. But I really do appreciate how the ESV puts it. So let's read it from there. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I will not be shaken. How long will you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is our refuge for us. Those of lowly estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In a balance, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in exhortation or set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that you, O Lord, belong steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his works. So we're going to look in and focus mostly on Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6. This is how it's seen in my Bible. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock, my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. You know, I'm very excited to focus in on this theme, this idea of serene, peace, tranquil. Now, I know when I think of camp, it's not exactly the first thing I think of. I don't think of calmness when I think of summer camp with kids. You know, it's a little bit more chaotic. And there's a lot of words that we could have chosen out of this section of scripture that would have had that cool kind of camp ring to it, whether we would have picked like refuge with like castles and things like that. We could have picked the rock. I thought about Dwayne Johnson putting up here, but I thought that was way too heretical. And so there's lots of different things. We could have gone with fortress. There's lots of different themes that we could have picked that would have been like that big, splashy kind of camp theme. But instead, we decided to go with serene. Serene. Right? This idea of peace, calmness, tranquil, untroubled, peaceful. You know, for some of you, when you think of this, you guys might think of lakes and trees and mountains and that peace and quiet that comes from that. I'm a BC boy. That's what I think of. Maybe for some of you, it's the tropics. Maybe it's just that sandy beach and just the nice ocean as it laps onto the sand. But it's often interrupted by the craziness of this life, right? Life is chaotic at times, and that's just kind of the reality of it. You know, often when I ask people, how are you doing? Their first response isn't really about their emotional condition, and I'm guilty of this as well, so believe me, I'm preaching to the choir on this. But their first response is busy. You know, how are you? Busy. You know, I like how one of my friends used to challenge me. She said, you know, Doug, we're all living full lives, right? That's just a reality. It's a matter of what we fill our time with, right? Where our priority is going to be. That's really the point of it. And so, like I said, it's the busyness that often can take up our time in our mind, that take us away, draw us away from the peace that we can experience, right? Whether that be in high school, maybe that's homework, that's friend groups, that's school, academics, the things after school. Later on, it might be rent, mortgages, kids, so on and so on. But my challenge is, how can we still find that peace, no matter where we are in our journey? Where can we find that peace, even in the midst of joy, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of suffering? It's a hard thing to find, but I truly believe that's only through Jesus that we can really find that peace, where we can truly slow down and find our dependence on Christ and Christ alone. We need to find the stillness and waiting on Jesus. You know, even in the midst of the full schedule, you hear people say, oh, you need to live a balanced life. You know, I don't really believe that we will find a balanced life. That's just not the reality. This life just always seems to throw more than we think we can handle. And our schedules just get tighter and tighter. But how do we take the time and set priority on Christ? How do we take that time to be in the quietness with God and wait on him? Pastor Mason King said, a hurried soul lacks the ability to listen. I truly believe that, and I really appreciate the way that he phrases that. All right, so we're going to keep moving forward. This is just a little breakdown for you where we're going to be heading today. We're going to look at the author, who he is. The author is King David. We'll look at when he's writing this. We'll look at the breakdown as to what the psalm is talking about. I really love scripture and especially poetry, of how it has structure within it. And then we can also look at how we can experience this serene dependence in our own lives. So let's first talk about King David. So King David, who is David? I'm a camp director, so we can have some interaction here. Just yell out, what are some stories of David? Any stories? Goliath, absolutely. Kind of a big story. What else? Shepherd. Heard shepherd. Anyone else? Jonathan, absolutely. Music, absolutely. I love the fact that, honestly, there's so many psalms that we can just see how David worshipped, right? How he worshipped God. So David was an amazing man of God. Now, God even says, right, a man after his own heart. That's really high praise. It's amazing praise. And so, God makes some really cool promises. So after, obviously, we're talking David and Goliath here, but in 2 Samuel 7, I highly recommend giving a read. We're not going to go through it all today, but in 2 Samuel 7, there's lots of promises that God makes to David as this young little kid. He makes a ton of promises to him. Things like, I will provide you a place for the people, for your people. I will make your name great. But we're going to focus in on one in particular, where it's in 2 Samuel 7, verse 16. He says, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Right? That's a huge promise, that your kingdom's not going to end. That's what he promises David. Now, spoiler for those of you that don't know, Jesus is a continuation of David's line. And we have an eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But when David's writing this psalm in particular, now, he mentions that he's being assaulted. So he wrote this probably when he was in his later years. He talks about being a teetering fence or leaning tower. And some speculate that it's probably Saul's family still trying to assassinate him, even in his old age. So he's crying out to God, being like, God, why is this still happening? Even in my old age, people are still trying to kill me. But even in the midst of that, he could say, find rest, O my soul, right? My hope comes from him. And I truly believe that his hope and some of his dependence on God came from truly trusting that God is big enough to keep his promises, that God promised him that his kingdom would be established forever. So no matter what went on in his life, he could come back trusting that God's big enough to to keep his promises. So we're going to look into just how he structures this prayer. And I love it because it is such a beautiful prayer of just an outward pouring out to how big God is in David's life. So structure and format. So we're going to look at the frame first. The frame in verses 1 and 2 as well as in 11 and 12. We're running short on time, so I'm just going to highlight them. I suggest giving them a quick read. You'll notice that throughout the psalm, there's a lot of repetition. Usually if something's repeated in the Bible, it's something that's important. But the frame is basically, God is my only refuge, my one and only dependence in this life. And why 11 and 12? Because of his steadfast love and his ultimate power over everything. Now, you might have noticed that over and over again, David iterates that God alone, right? God alone is. That's a very important thing, that only through God he can find rest, silence, deliverance from all the hard situations that he faces. Now, looking at the three stanzas, so stanzas are the little couplings within the verses, right? We have three of them. So you've got verse 3 to 4, which is kind of the threat. 5 and 8, if they're going to pull anything, 5 and 8 is the important place to be. So 5 and 8 is the main point of the whole passage. And answers the questions that we have about the threat as well as mankind's loneliness in 8 and 9. So that's what we're kind of focusing in on, is 5 and 8 as a whole. But not to glaze over 3 and 4. Like I said, I like how he says, how long will you assault a man in verse 3? How long will you assault a man? This is an honest cry out to David. People have been trying to kill David throughout his life, and he's just finally crying out to God with this emotional plea. Right? Don't underestimate that. I think too often we're a little bit scared to cry out to God as David did. But practice honest pleas out to God. It's truly relieving to be honest and just truly be free with God. Right? He's big enough to handle it. You know, I have a prayer practice that I won't get into too much, but it's in 1 Kings 19, chapter 19, verse 4. You can look it up. It's with Elijah after he he does a lot of cool things first, right? He calls down fire from heaven. He outruns a chariot. But then in chapter 19, the queen at the time says, I will find you and I will kill you. And in that moment, Elijah loses all hope, forgetting kind of everything cool that's happened in his life. He loses all hope and he says, Lord, I've had enough, right? Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors, right? It's this honest plea of, I'm done. This life is way too hard, God. Right? But he doesn't stay there. So my prayer practice doesn't stay there, but it continues on that, Lord, you have me here. So there's obviously a purpose. And what is that purpose? So be honest, but don't stay in the woe is me camp. Instead, move forward in the hope that God is in our own lives. I love how he takes verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 6 and sandwiches his threat with the same rhetoric over and over again. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. No matter the situation, Christ is his rock, his foundation, where he anchors himself in the midst of such storms. So I encourage you, wait on God, trust in God, depend on him alone, as David did. I like how the Message actually even puts this verse. It says, God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as he says. Everything I need comes from him, so why not? Why would I not wait on God? If he provides everything for me, I need to wait on him. Once again, Mason King says, a hurried soul lacks the ability to listen. He also says, a quiet heart has a single hope and a true home. So wait on God. Now, if you haven't noticed, I'm not a very patient person. I'm kind of a go, go, go person. And so I have had to really put this into practice and really focus in on this. My wife learned that I'm not a very patient person, and the first time we went shoe shopping, I went in, I looked at the rack, I was like, those ones. She's like, well, are you going to try them on? sure, I guess that's a thing. I've tried them on, and she's like, are you going to stand up and walk? I was like, sure, I guess that's a thing. And so I stood up, took about 2 steps, I was like, sold. And that's usually how I buy things. It's very quick, it's very sporadic. And so that's the speed that I'm usually running at all the time. It's exhausting, I know. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I've had to learn that with my spiritual life, things don't always go at the speed that I want them to go. It's sometimes going to take a little bit of waiting. It's going to take me slowing down and waiting on God. You know, often when I hit that point of suffering, especially, I know this is similar for a lot of us, when I hit that point of suffering in my own life, my first reaction is I want to run to a comfort or I want to run to a quick solution. I'm like, all right, how do we get out of this? Let's make a plan. Let's execute it. Let's do it. But what I've learned is that I need to sometimes leave my hand in the fire, right? Our first reaction when we put our hand in fire is naturally to pull our hand out. But rather, when I feel that suffering, when I am in the midst of that pain, actually waiting on God, being, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? What is the point of this? There's something behind this, right? How can I grow closer to you? How can I hope in you and wait on you even in the midst of that pain? So waiting on God in the midst of pain is something that builds character, not and running from it does not. So I implore you to learn how to wait in the quietness, to quiet the soul in the midst of pain. And we'll talk about that a little bit more near the end. Now, I'm not going to focus too much on 7, 8, 9, and 10, but basically it's answering the question of why don't we trust in man? He says that, right, we are but a breath, right? If weighed on a scale between rich and poor, it's nothing. And he's just described how amazing God is, right? That God is the only one that can really bring honor to him and salvation. And he says, trust him at all times, people. Why would you not when man is so fleeting? And so if you want to look at what it looks like in my Bible, this is kind of what it looks like in the fact that 5 and 8 answer the questions of man's lowliness and also why depend on God alone. So I highly recommend, give this psalm a couple reads through and really get to know that. So I'm going to cruise through this part a little bit. So find rest, O my soul. So the main word there is focused on silence. We just talked about that. Actually waiting on God. Now this is a rhetorical question. We don't have to answer it out loud. But how often do we spend time with God in complete silence like that? I know in my life it's not nearly enough. Not even close. And so I know I need to make it more of a priority to find time of silence. And we'll sort of talk about ways in which we can do that in a second. So even in the midst of hardship, David found this serene dependence. He could depend on God even in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the suffering, because of two things. In the peace of knowing who God is, that he's big enough for his problems, but also in walking with God. Like I said, the Psalms are an amazing thing that we get to see how David prayed, how David worshiped God in the day-to-day. And so give them a read. See how he did that. And reiterate into your own life. I highly recommend that. Because this Psalm in particular, you truly can see how much he depended on God. There's not many psalms that are quite like this one. The fact that there's 4 times where he says, my salvation, there's my rock, my hope, my honor, my glory depend on God. Over and over again, David is getting to the point that we need that dependence on God and God alone. So in the midst of the crazy moments, the suffering that David faced, he found peace in knowing who God was. Knowing the promises he had, like I said, when we looked at 2 Samuel, but also depending on God in the day-to-day. And I truly believe that we can experience that same peace. And I believe it's through knowing the promises of Jesus and finding a rhythm in our own lives. These are habits that bind us closer to God. So let's focus in first on where we can find our rest in God, the promises of Jesus. Like I said, David had a lot of promises that God had made to him in his time as a young boy, all the way through as king. And these are things that he leaned on, and you can look in through the Psalms. Jesus has made promises to us. We need to know the promises, because in my hardest of moments, these are the promises that I keep on my mind to keep me anchored to Christ. Right? Knowing the promises in which he's made to us as a people, as God's people, and what that looks like. So we're going to look at a few different promises. We can't go through all of the promises. We'd probably be here probably past lunch and so forth. But there's a few promises I wanted to highlight, especially this one. John 3:16, I know we've all heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But just let that sink in. Let that move from here to here. And just think about that rhetoric. Right? Knowing that God would send his one and only son into this brokenness, right? Our world is broken, death, suffering, right? Pain. But God doesn't leave us there. Rather, he sends his son, 100% God, 100% man, to live a sinless life. We talk about it in Easter just a couple weeks ago. We celebrated that. And he dies on a cross, a sinner's death that he didn't deserve, and is buried for 3 days. But he doesn't stay buried, but then is resurrected and ascends into heaven. And we have that amazing gift through Jesus, who paid our penalty of sin. We have the gift of eternal life if we truly believe in him. That is the gospel message. That is something that we need to remind ourselves daily, to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. Moving forward, he also talks about how we are to have life in abundance. That's how my Bible puts it. Life in abundance, or life in its fullest. I can definitely say that my walk with Christ hasn't been easy, but it definitely hasn't been boring. And it truly has been such a joy to see how God's worked through it. Now, on top of that, he also promises not only abundance, but that there will be difficulties. It's not my favorite promise he makes, but it is a guarantee. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. We have a God that understands our struggles, that Christ has conquered each trial that we face. And even in our darkest moments, Christ is there through his Holy Spirit, walking alongside us in our journey. So be encouraged in that today. Finally, just finishing off here, find rhythm. These are habits that draw you closer to God. Things that, bring us closer. There's things in life that either do one of two things. They either push us away from God or they draw us closer. It's not really a neutral place for items in our life. So find rhythms that bring us closer to God. So we'll just move forward. That's a long quote. But basically, Spurgeon is talking about how we need to submit completely, trust immovably, wait patiently, no matter what the season brings. But when we're looking at rhythms, I really want to highlight our time at the end here with the Irish monks. I know it's kind of random, but I love the Irish monks. I've been doing a little bit more studies on them, and I think they had a really cool rhythm in their lives. We all have rhythms. Let's understand that, right? It might be we get up, we eat, we work, we eat, we work, we eat, we come home, play with the kids, TV, sleep, rinse, cycle, repeat, right? Did I hit that on the nose pretty close? So there's lots of things in which we have a rhythm, but I would like to encourage us to look at our spiritual rhythm. What does that look like in our lives? So with the Irish monks, they had a rhythm. You know, they had a bell that would signal it, where they would have a time of prayer and solitude. They'd have a time where they'd read God's word together. They would sing together. They would serve together. So understand where you can put in a rhythm in your own life. Maybe that's setting an alarm in your phone. Maybe that's just finding quietness at the end of your day. Maybe you're someone that likes to journal in the morning. Whatever that looks like, find a rhythm that really binds you closer to Christ. Now, the thing that I like about the Irish monks is often when we think of monks, we think monasteries off in the distance. Their monasteries were often in the middle or near communities. right? Because part of it was serving. I truly believe serving is an important part of our Christian walk, right? So the monastery would be maybe one day a soup kitchen, one day it might be a university, it might be a hospital, it might be a hotel. It depended on the needs of the community at the time. And I think that's something that's super important that we can't forget about the rhythm in our lives, that we'd find rhythms that bind us to Christ, which includes serving. Each day, every day, no matter the troubles, we focus in on the hopes and find that peace through the rhythm. So, finding serene dependence. That's my encouragement. I hope that was encouraging for you today, that something will stick with you. But if you have any more questions or you want the slides, please come talk to me afterwards. Or if you want to talk about camp or life, I really do appreciate you guys allowing me to come here today. Like I said, it's always fun to see a lot of familiar faces. So let me pray for you guys, and then I'll call Mike and he can end our service. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the big God that you are. That Jesus, you have given us so many promises that we can trust in wholeheartedly, even in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain. Lord, we can find rest in who you are. Help us to find that today, and help us to lean on you more and more. I pray this all in Christ's holy name. Amen.